In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Well, Merry Christmas. But it is the fifth day of Christmas, right? In spite of what I saw on my run yesterday morning through East Grand Rapids, where a number of Christmas trees were on the curb, I think they're pretty fortunate over in East Grand Rapids because they have pickup for those things for free. But apparently Christmas is over in those houses. But not here. Not on this fifth day of Christmas. We gathered on Christmas Eve and then on Christmas Day to rejoice in the incarnation and birth of our Savior. And the celebration continues. The next day of Christmas was actually one of sorrow, because it observes St. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, who was killed by stoning because of his confession of the faith. The third day of Christmas is the feast of St. John the Evangelist. He lived to a ripe old age and gave to us many blessed things, such as the Gospel of John, as well as 1 John and 2 and 3 John, and his Revelation, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, also called the Book of Revelation. And then the day after that, yesterday, the 28th, the Feast of the Holy Innocents, in which the church observes the martyrdom of many little baby boys all around the same age of Jesus in the city of Bethlehem. And all of that is to say that this season of Christmas is not the season strictly of joy, but of joy mixed with sorrow, as we heard Christmas Eve. We see that again today in our reading from the Gospel of Luke. It opens with Mary and Jesus taking their child, Mary and Joseph taking their child, Jesus, 40 days old, to the temple. It's a joyous occasion because Mary finally ends her time of separation from the temple. She goes there to be cleansed. This is what is required in the law of Moses. Before she would enter into the presence of God, she must be cleansed. And there we meet Simeon. And how much sorrow does Simeon have? Day after day, he goes up to the temple, waiting expectantly to see the Christ, because the Lord has told him he will not see death until he has seen the promised Messiah, that which all Israel has waited for generations. I don't know about you, but when I'm waiting for someone and they fail to arrive, I get a little bit down. Can remember when I was maybe 9 or 10 years old, my friend was supposed to come and pick me up. I expected him at noon. This was before cell phones, so you can't call or text him on the road. And so it got to be 12:15, and I thought, my friend has forgotten me. I feel so badly. And so I called him 3 times, and once I dialed the wrong number, which was embarrassing. But of course he didn't answer. He wasn't home. He was on his way to get me with his mom. But I felt so downcast. Day after day, Simeon has gone up to the temple expecting to see the Christ. And he leaves in sorrow, because still there is no fulfillment of the promise. He knows it will come. That sustains him. But not yet. And then finally he goes up and he sees Joseph and Mary and the child Jesus, this little infant baby boy, and the Spirit prompts him to confess the truth. Here is my Savior. Now, finally, I can depart in peace and joy, for my eyes have seen God's salvation in the flesh. There he is. There he is for me. But more than that, there is the light for the Gentiles. He is for you. There is the glory of Israel. He is for all. in sorrow and in joy. Christ is for you. After we meet Simeon, then we meet Anna. And what a life of sorrow she's had. There she is, a widow. She was married 7 years. The man that she delighted in, who held her, she held him. He probably even wiped away the tears from her eyes. But he's been gone, probably over 60 years. Sorrow fills her days. I know this is true because recently I was talking with my grandmother. She turned 90 last year, and my grandfather died when he was 72. And every day since then, she misses him dearly. She knows he is with the Lord. That is comfort. But she has sorrow each day. And when I was talking with her over Christmas, you could hear it in her voice. How she misses that man. And Anna has had all this sorrow each day of her life. And now at the age of 84, she goes up to the temple. And as has been her practice of fasting and praying night and day, she goes there to do what she's always done, to be in the presence of God. And yet here, in our reading today, she is touched by joy. For there before her eyes is the redemption of Israel. There before her eyes is the promise of the resurrection. There before her eyes is hope in the flesh. And she rejoices, and she goes out telling everyone that there is redemption for Israel, for the world. Sorrow and yet joy. Sorrow turned to joy in her case. And then we have Mary. Oh, Mary. Mary has had a life that has been touched by sorrow and joy. There are the accusations about the father of her child. There's the abandonment by her family. The confusion by Joseph, who is a faithful and righteous man and returns to her and says, "I know that this one is the Son of the God Most High." Her sorrow was turned to joy on that Christmas Eve when she finally held her baby in her arms and saw him face to face. But did you hear what Simeon promised her now? Your sword will be pierced. You shall have sorrow. For the very one you hold right now, the very one you've fed right now, the little boy that you've changed and fell in love with, he will die. Your joy will turn to sorrow. And it'll happen right before your eyes. And there's nothing you can do. No exchange you can make. No life that you can give for him. For he comes to give his life for you. He comes to exchange all of his things for you, Mary. And your sorrow will be turned to joy on the day of his resurrection. Your tears will be turned to gladness when he comes forth. And even though on the 40th day after that he will ascend into heaven, do not fear. For comfort continues to come through Christ's word and sacraments. So, dear ones, are you sorrowing this day? Are you sorrowing because Christmas didn't turn out quite the way you thought it would? The family that you longed to have gathered around you, they weren't able to come because of illness or distance. Did things not quite turn out right with that Christmas meal? The cookies were burned. What is your sorrow? Is it something that is deeper, as deep as death. Well, take heart this day. Sorrow is turned to joy, for Christ comes into your very presence. He comes here under bread and wine for your forgiveness. But he also helps you live in the midst of the sorrow. And he helps you live in the midst of the sorrow in at least two ways. First, by continuing to come and be with you in this place and bringing you true joy. But second, by surrounding you with these members of your family. After all, you are brothers, Paul says in our epistle today. Sons of the Heavenly Father, you are his children. And gathered here in the command of Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, your brothers and sisters face sorrow and suffering too. Look around you. See suffering sinners longing for forgiveness, but also lonely, struggling. We face so much in this life. And here God gives us those who make it possible so that we won't have to face it alone. Here he gives to us the most blessed of gifts in our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not just nameless faces. We're brothers and sisters. So strive to see your brother and sister sorrowing and struggling, and give to them not only support, but give to them the truth of the gospel. That Christ comes to bring you true joy. Through his forgiveness, through his death and his resurrection, through his life, but also through these gifts sitting right around you, right here, right now. So on this fifth day of Christmas, we rejoice in God's gifts, chiefly the gift of joy in the midst of sorrow. Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.